Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
The playground sits at the edge of a Southern Republic housing zone. It's public, cracked, and slowly sinking into disrepair. You see rusted monkey bars, peeling paint, sand turned to dust, the kind of place that the government points to and calls recreational infrastructure. It's a rare afternoon out for Daniel's daughter, Julia. She's young. She's 12 years old, but looks a little bit younger, depending on the day. You can't really tell anymore. And you see her that she stands stiffly at the edge of a slide, barely interacting with the other kids. Her eyes dart toward nothing. Her hands, like, scratch lightly at her arms. It's subtle, but Emma Jane, you see it immediately, and you've seen it before, and you felt it too. Daniel sits on a bench, watching his daughter, and next to him, there you are, Emma, as you kind of lower yourself in. You have a coffee in your hand, still warm. You haven't drunk it. What's the past particle for drink? You haven't drunk it yet. Drunk. What do you do as you approach?
Emma Jane is sort of tapping a little rhythm on the side of her cup as she sits. She'll turn her head slightly towards him just to double check that it's him and then look out at the kids again. She'll take like a big breath, sip of the coffee, and then she pulls it away. Which one's yours? Assuming there is one that's yours.
The one over there, you can see, well, she's... It's one of the few times she's been functional, and you can see like just nerves on Daniel's face. He's a little bit, his facial hair is kind of like grown in. He looks a little bit unkempt. He says, "I was hoping you'd have some information, maybe something that could help her."
She lowers her cup again, sort of rests it on the floor and sits back against the bench. "I can help you, and I do want to help you. It's just... this is a two-way relationship. You understand? I don't like all of that you need me more than I need you type of thing. Beneficial for the both of us. Understand?"
"I get it. I'm willing to... I've got plenty of money. I'm willing to pay whatever you want."
"I take it you don't know me quite as much as I thought you did, dealing with money. No, no, no. You know what I want."
"Information, yeah?"
"The very best you have."
"Listen, I've worked with Sentry for years now, and we recently split ways. They're the reason that I'm here asking you for help. I mean, her addiction, all of this. They've screwed me over. They've screwed friends over. But they don't know about... they don't know about Jules. Julia. They don't know about her addiction."
As he says they don't know about Julia and her addiction, your eyes kind of look towards her again at the playground, and you see her again, just kind of half present. But for Emma Jane, like I said, you recognize certain signs. What does it feel like to watch someone else live through this as you kind of, your eyes kind of flit over there quickly?
I think part of the age, like her age, Julia's age, is something that's quite important to her. So while there is some form of camaraderie in that it's the same, she's felt that before, there's also this sort of, but you're so young, how have you gotten yourself in this situation? But she does also want to have a somewhat decent impression, so it's not something she's going to say out loud, but it does make her wonder about the parenting too.
And you guys see her, she kind of pauses at the bottom of the slide. She doesn't climb it, she just stands there, like wringing the hem of her shirt in the bottom of her fingers, and you can hear like a few kids are also on the playground kind of yelling in the background, but none of them look her way.
You said she doesn't have many days where she's functional.
This is the most I've seen her move outside of that damn neurocaster.
She tuts and picks up her coffee again and takes a sip. You say no one knows. She's troubled, no?
Nobody from Century, and I don't think many other people know. Maybe a close friend of mine, but that's about it.
She'll clap Daniel's leg and then sort of stretch slightly. That is exactly the kind of payment I'm talking about. Now, I don't have exactly what you need right now. That's going to take some work, some contacts, time. But I can tell you, you're not the first from Century who's come to me.
Well, I don't know how much time it's going to take, but... Daniel just looks out at Julia, some tears kind of crossing his eyes, and says, I don't know how much time she's got in the state that she's in, so if we can make it, expedite it. I mean, like I said, I'm willing to pay. I can get you more information, whatever you need. I don't want to lose her.
Daniel, I think we're going to have a very... very lucrative relationship together. And she'll like hold out her hand for him to shake.
I take a moment, finally pulling my gaze off of Julia, looking down at your hand, kind of like looking at you, wipe the tears from my eyes, and then grab your hand and say, yeah, I mean, I have a feeling we'll be working together at least a little bit more in the future.
My question is, what is this information that is exchanged? Like, specifically, what is Daniel sharing with her and what are you giving him?
He's given me that his daughter's ill and nobody from Century knows. And then I've given him the fact that he's not the only one from Century who's looked to outside resources for addiction.
I think Daniel's tried to be... Oh, go ahead.
I was just wondering, is that information good enough for Emma Jane?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
First time meeting, and he's going straight in with, like, the personal, this is like... Like, he could have just been like, what do you know about addiction? But he was, like, straight in, and she's like, that's a good target. Like, that's someone who's giving everything up, like, straight away, you know?
And you gave him names? Oh, your information is that he's not the first one. Is that good enough for Daniel? Does that help him in any way, knowing that there's other people?
I think that, and Daniel's been a bit cagey or tried to be subtle about his connections with Century, I suppose, while still being upfront about his work with them. But there's a chance that he might have information about, like, Century that they don't want to give out. I think as far as the names go, Daniel's desperate. Like, he doesn't know who else to go to, and if this is at least just, like, a hint of a lead, it's something that he's going to grasp onto with everything he's got left and try to follow it and see if he can get more.
And I think as well, like, her only saying, like, I can tell you, you're not the first to come to me. Like, it's like she's like, it's obvious that she knows more, sort of thing. And like Daniel straight away being like, I will do anything. I'll give you money. I'll give you information. It's like, yeah, the like hook, line, sinker type thing. But, mm-hmm. You know?
Do you tell Do you tell him specifically, or is it just that kind of like vague line of...
Not the names yet, but there's like the promise of more.
So my question is, as she takes this information in, Daniel, does this make you trust her more?
I'm not sure that... I think it's almost like a trust out of necessity, if that makes sense. Daniel doesn't have a lot of other options, so he knows... I think he knows at least a little bit about Emma Jane's background and work. So he knows that she's probably, well, she might not be a trustworthy person, but he doesn't have any other options. Like, she's probably one of the best resources that he knows of getting this sort of information.
Okay. And for Emma Jane, it's about leverage for her.
Yeah, 100%. This is someone who's come to her for a favor. Obviously, there's payment, but like they've come to her. She hasn't had to draw them in, and she's just trying to like make sure she can get extra further usage before she decides to like invest her time into him. This is good. I'll be in touch. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, time is vital. So if you're able to get back to me quicker, the better. It'll mean more money, more information, whatever you need. Like I said.
Yeah, no, for sure. If you just, in the meantime, just send down some interesting things you think I should know, yeah?
Yeah, I'll think on it.
All right, then. And she'll stand up and have a look towards Julia. She seems nice. Take good care of her, yeah?
I'm trying to correct that. Change course, as it were. And yeah, I intend to. Real quick, there is a way to get rid of the addiction. Right?
Like I said, these things take time. I'm not the only one out there pulling all this info together, you know? I have contacts, people in different cities, different states. It's a whole network. Look, I wouldn't be entertaining this conversation if I had nothing for you. I want this to be beneficial for the both of us. My information's good. That's why you've heard of me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Great. Well, I expect to hear from you soon then.
I'll be in touch. And she'll do like a little salute as she leaves the park.
As she leaves, what is kind of that last thought on his mind as he watches her back as she leaves?
There's a little bit of, I mean, there's tension there. There's sadness, thinking about Julia, finding out that not getting a lot of information, but just getting a tiny, tiny bit. There is a little bit of hope there. He kind of like looks back at Julia, and I'll walk over to Julia. And is she like playing or doing anything?
She hasn't really been playing this entire time, just kind of like awkwardly standing. You see her hand is now like holding on to the side of the slide, and her hand is gripping it really tight. You can kind of see her knuckles are turning white.
Okay. I'll walk over and kind of just gently pull her hand off of the slide. Kind of put a hand around her shoulder and just say, "Hey, Jules, did you want to talk to the other kids over there?"
And she kind of just puts her head down and she says, "No, I don't really want to be here. I want to go back."
Yeah, I know.
But no, I don't want to go back to that place. I want to go back home.
They won't let me take you back home. It's my fault, but I'm working to see what I can do. I'm gonna get you back home as soon as I can. I just can't today.
I want to go back home. I just want to go back home. You see her hands start to like clench and squeeze. If this is your fault, then what? I don't understand. Why did you do this?
I lean down in front of her, grab both of her hands, let her like clench and squeeze as hard as she wants. Jules, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to. I made a bunch of mistakes, and I shouldn't have let you spend all that time with that stupid headset.
But it's not stupid. It's not stupid. And you hear her get a little aggressive.
I know, you're right. It's not stupid. I need just a little bit more time, and hopefully I should be able to bring you home. And you can use your neurocaster at home as much as you like, and I'll be there with you.
And you see her kind of, her face animates a little bit more than you've seen for the first time today. Do you promise? You promise?
I kind of look down, like, just brow furrowed. Yeah, Jules, I promise. I'll be just you and me in the Neurocaster.
Oh, okay. Because they only let me use it for 30 minutes every day. And it's not like at home when I could use it whenever I wanted. I just want to go back home.
And I squeeze her hands probably just a little bit too tight in frustration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get you home. We'll figure it out. I'm working on fixing my mistakes.
You know, Mom came to see me a couple days ago. And she uses the Neurocaster every single day. And she said that I can come visit her and use it there every day. And she said it's okay, and there's nothing wrong with using it.
This time I squeeze her hand harder and say,
Dad.
I let go. Sorry, Jules. I'm working to fix the whole problem with your mother, with you not being home. But don't listen to what your mother tells you. She's got a few problems of her own.
She said it's not a problem.
Listen, it's not. I don't want you to think that you've done anything wrong. I made the mistakes.
Then why am I in trouble? I'm in trouble.
I'm sorry, Jules. You're not in trouble. And I just give her a hug. At least, well, like I said, I made the mistakes. I'm gonna fix it. I promise. We'll get you home soon.
And just into your shoulder, she just keeps saying, I just want to go home. I just want to go home.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Transition over to Emma Jane. You left. Did you drive here? How'd you get here? Like, what are you getting into as you leave?
No, she walked.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Where is she walking to?
She's walking back to... It's her home. Home is, like, a very loose word. It is the, like, remnants of a building that has been sort of left behind, taken up by squatters, that sort of thing. She has, like, the very top room in the attic, and all she has in there is her Neurocaster set up and sheets on the floor. And that's where she's walking home to. But as she's walking, she's sort of like drumming her fingers together, running her fingers along the wall. She's sort of, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, I got him, 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 under her breath, like the whole way home. And as soon as she gets in, she sort of slams the door and moves like straight to her Neurocaster to like put it in her notes, let her network know. She sends it as like a mass message to everyone within her network that just says, holy fucking shit, in capitals. She wants it written, specifically. I got him. I got Daniel Collins. Said he'll give me anything. And then in, like, quotations, money, information, anything I want. Where do we start first? And then she'll sign with her initial and send it off.
And I would say pretty quickly you get more people sending back messages to you. You get lots of like, oh, holy shit. Like, you get like, oh, that's a good catch. Like, good catch, man. And just like a lot of messages of people like, that was a big one.
And she'll like, sort of like, as a thread type thing, as a comment underneath, she'll just write, gonna take a while with this one. We'll send updates as soon as I can. And then she'll take off her headset and immediately start fumbling along like the sheets that she has on the floor. For a canister of Nurine. She'll sit back against the wall, stretch out again, sort of like stretch her neck, crack her knuckles. There's a moment where she sort of drums the Nurine on the floor just to sort of see how long she can hold off. And she counts for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. But before she can get to 20, she's breaking the seal and inhaling it.
You realize that this is... You only have one more left after this one. And you need to re-up soon. How long do you think the high lasts?
To her, it feels like days. I would imagine it's something like less than 6 hours, given the quality of what she has at the moment. I think like the better the quality, the longer. But she's been taking what she can get since her last fix for them got found out. So she's just sort of like taking what she can get. She's not even like running it by people who've also bought from them. She's just sort of taking the risk and taking what, if it has Nurine on the label, she's like, yeah, fine, sure.
You feel this one not as strong as the others, but still does the job.
Mm-hmm.
But you've tried the pure stuff before.
Mm.
And this might be cut differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she'll sort of sigh, lean her head back on the wall, put her arms on her knees, and then just sort of watch the light that comes in through the top of the window. The room that she's in, it has just one big window, which quite like, so she can just sit there and watch like the shapes for ages. And she'll sort of roll like some of the empty canisters between her fingers. And now that one's done, and I've got him. I can spend a bit more. A reward. A reward for a big catch. Yeah, that'll be good. And she'll start sort of like in her haze, kind of like slide sort of down the wall until she's in a semi-laying position. And she'll pull like the blankets and stuff up around her and like the clinking of all the empty neurocanisters and that sort of thing, sort of like roll across the floorboards.
Do you think she like nods off a bit?
Yeah, she just sort of like, she sits in like the corner watching the lights with a blanket and just sits like that for as long as she can feel the high.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say that you're feeling this high,
mm-hmm.
and eventually you kind of knock out for a bit.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So you kind of, you're in this haze, and then your body just kind of is so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
They end up falling asleep.
Yeah.
A few hours pass, and when you do wake up, it's like 2 or 3 a.m., If you look around the room, it's kind of dark. You have the light from like the moon coming in.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn your head, you can see that your door is open.
She'll sort of squint at the door for a second. trying to remember if she closed it when she came in, like, because of how excited she was. She'll sort of sigh, push against the floor to get back up, rub her elbows from how she's been sleeping. I feel like it's quite drafty with the door open, so that's the only reason she's actually, like, gotten up, otherwise she would just let it lie. But she'll kind of, like, rub her eyes as she heads over to the door, just to sort of close it again.
What you notice is what you don't hear. You had a lot of the canisters around you before you slept. All of them are gone now. Every single one.
She sort of frowns as she turns away from the door. The fact that she didn't hear the rattling. Like, she usually kicks them across the floor. She takes a couple of steps before she really realises that she's not sort of kicking them as she goes. And when she hears the silence, she'll sort of, like, drop to her knees and start sort of, like, because it's still quite dark, so it's more of, like, a feeling and patting around sort of thing for it. She'll start patting over the floor. When she can't find them there, she'll grab her blanket and start sort of, like, waving that out sort of thing. Throws that, like, across the room when she can't find it. Starts going to, like, the corners to see if, like, they've all stacked up, or, like, trying to find, like, any floorboard that have, like, a bigger hole that they could have fallen down.
Is there anywhere else you look? Or is it just the room?
She'll... After she's double sure that she's checked absolutely everything in her room, she'll sort of, like... She'll move out into the landing, slamming her door a bit harder than she meant to in her sort of desperation. And she'll hang over the banister, like, down the stairs, and be like, has anyone been up here yet?
You don't hear anything from the banister. But when you slam the door, you did hear, like, a groan. Like, ugh, coming from the hallway.
Can I follow that groan? Because that would have, like, pissed her off even more. Like, this is a very serious situation. Why are people getting involved, sort of thing? So she'll sort of, like, storm her way towards the groan.
As you make your way there and you go to follow it, you see that there are two men who are sitting down in the hallway, similar position that you had right after you took the Nurine, surrounded by canisters. And they're like, oh, you're so loud. Shh. And they kind of, like, shush you, and they're one guy's hands, like, just like he's moving in, like, slow motion. He's like, hey, man, be quiet.
She blinks slowly, taking in the scene. And then she hears the new, like, those canisters clink one too many times. And she, like, sort of storms over, steps over them so she's facing them. Makes sure she kicks their pile as she goes down. And then immediately, like, again, gets to her knees to, like, start looking at the canisters, see if, like, they're even reminiscent of the ones she bought. But as she's sort of looking, she'll look up the one that was like, oh, you're so loud. And she'll be like, it was fucking you, wasn't it? I swear to fucking God, if... Now, was it you? Did you take them?
Wait, what are you... Hey, calm down. Okay, let me just... If I could just go... And then he's like, his head is turned, eyes are shut. He's like, I just need to get, like, a little bit... I just need to go to sleep, okay?
Hey, no. And she'll sort of, like...
I just want to go.
She'll kick, like, his leg to, like, wake up a bit more. The canister, yeah. Where'd you fucking get him? Huh?
I don't know. We walked into a room... And we just saw some in a room, man. Just grabbed them and... it's no big deal.
You saw them in a room and you just walked in. You just walked in, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they were my fucking canisters. And she was sort of like kneel, so she's like eye level with them. So how are you going to pay me back, huh?
You start to see his body start to slide over against the wall and just more towards the ground. He's like, my bad, man. I'm so sorry. If I could just... I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna fall asleep real quick. I'm so sorry. And you see his body just... And he kind of nods off. And you hear his body like a thud against the ground. It's similar, like the man across from him looks the same.
She pulls her hair in frustration. It's like, oh, and she'll, like, kick the railing. It's like, fucking useless, all of you. Every single fucking white rat box of you. All of you, you're fucking useless. And she'll start, like, storming down the stairs. I feel like she would if one of them was out, they would have a sort of system where, like, oh yeah, you give me back a few of yours, sort of thing. And she goes down to sort of find anyone in the building that might have some.
You're going to search in the building, and if you are talking to people, you get a lot of the same answer. Everybody else is also looking, and they're kind of in that stage of getting, like, aggressive, starting to, like, you know, eyes are darting, they're scratching at themselves, and you know that you don't want to get to that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, no, we don't have, do you know any, like, did you have any, like, were you hiding any? And people are kind of getting aggressive, but nobody has any.
She's, like, with people getting more aggressive, she is getting, like, less patient. So she's sort of, like, shoving past people. She's going down the stairways and stuff. And, like, if people are coming up to ask her, she just, like, pushes them away until she gets outside into, like, the cold air. And she, like, sort of looks up and takes a breath for a minute. Thinks about... Actually, she'll check her phone to see who she has that could potentially have some. She scrolls down a couple of times, pauses on a couple, but anything's better of it, until she scrolls down to Vincent's name, and she, like, takes a seat on the steps outside her building and sort of holds her thumb on top of the call button. I mean just some, and then I don't hide it here. I take it somewhere else. I hide it better this time. I hide it better so they won't be able to. And she'll call Vincent.
You call Vincent, and it rings a few times, and eventually he answers.
I know it's been a while, and I said I'd sort of keep your business and stuff, but, like, it's just been a couple of years, it's been a bit crazy, and I just need to know if you have anything in stock. Please.
This was a prelude in our Operation Firewall Character Spotlight series. The main season kicks off soon, so make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform to catch it. And if you enjoyed these glimpses into our travelers' past, consider leaving a rating or even sharing the show. It helps out way more than you know. Thanks for listening.